Thank you, Lord. Don't forget in your bulletin, there is the nominations that are coming up the nominations that are coming up for the board of Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church. And so if you would take a moment and buy the box out there, there is a list of the members. Pray over and say, hey, God. And that, who do I see godly character? Who do I see someone that is setting example and grabbing a hold of things that God would be a good representation of you on the leadership team? And then write your name down and then the name of the person you're suggesting, and that to go into the nomination ballot. So I encourage you to do that. The nominations are closed on November the 9th. I know there's many that have already put it in there, but if you haven't, I want to give you an opportunity for that. So there's three other inserts in your bulletin. Everything else in the bulletin, please grab a hold of it. It's important as it's coming up. I'm just quickly looking in here to see if there's anything else. But I want to talk just a few moments here before I jump into the word that God's placed in my heart for our theme this year, our focus this year. And that God's really put in the heart that we are ready to break out of our four walls. Some, it's breaking out of the walls of their own heart because they've been so captivated and captured, and that by things of the past and other things that have offended, other things that have gone on, that they've lost the focus, and God is now springing them out of their heart so that they can truly live again. And that for others, and that it's in this part of God opening the door, and that he says, I stand at the door and I knock. He says, I knock at the door of the heart. I'm just longing for you to open it up to me. And so here the great invitation, first and foremost, is an invitation into a salvation, into a relationship with Jesus. And sometimes we can forget that that's really what it's all about. We can forget that that's exactly what God is calling us to. God hasn't called us so that we could get saved and we could come into church and relax and have fun and be catered to and that idea. But God saved us as his army. He saved us as his ambassadors to go to the highways and byways and compel everyone around us that the Jesus that saved us is the Jesus that wants to save them. And that the Jesus that died for us is the same Jesus that died for our family member, for our coworker, for our neighbor, for our friend. And God calls us to this part. He calls us to this. He draws us to this part of the great invitation that he has asked you and I to partner with him to make a difference. To partner with him, and that to open up the doors of heaven so that people can taste and see that he is good. Who is God putting on your heart this past week that you've shared Jesus with? You see, the number one word that's buzzing around our society today is, I'm busy. That's right. I'm busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. He stands at the door and he's knocking. Oh yeah, that's for salvation, but it's a lot more than that. He stands at the door and says, hey, won't you come out? Won't you come with me? Won't you partner with me? You see, Holy Spirit, it is not just here to protect us from the big bad wolf. Holy Spirit is here to lead us into the kingdom. He's here to empower us with boldness and strength and courage to witness to all those around us. And so this is the invitation, and this is the challenge that God's put in our heart this year. This year, every week, an invitation is going to go out in the bulletin to you. And if you don't get a bulletin or you're sharing a bulletin, there will be extra invitations out on the welcome desk. And the challenge is this. The great invitation, the challenge is this. Every single week, We will purposely be praying, waking up in the morning saying, God, who is it you want me to talk to today? And every single week, every one of us will invite someone. Now, you might say, oh, I don't have that many friends. You got some homes living around you. Got homes living around you. Your neighbors, right? Those in the grocery store, right? If we're keeping to ourselves that much, something's wrong. God wants you to get out, right? You are the light. You are a salt, amen, into this world. And so our challenge is every single week that we will invite someone to come and hear about Jesus, to come and taste and see that he is good. Amen? Is Jesus worth it? A couple of us will believe it. Is Jesus worth it? Yes. And that if they come to see Jesus, and that will that change their life? Amen? Yes. And that's what we're offering. Not a good program. Not this, not that. We're offering Jesus. Amen? Because if we offer him, he will satisfy everything. Everything of all of their desires. In your bulletin, you have two flyers, if you pull them out just for a moment. So that's the challenge with our this year as we move together, and that as we look for to reach out together, and that idea with our family connections. If you haven't got signed up yet to the family connection and you call Rockcliffe your home, please go check and make sure your name's on that list. If it's not on the list, please fill out the card. If you filled out a card last week and your name is not on the list, please forgive us. We just might not have got it updated yet, but don't worry. If you filled out the card, it will get updated. And that, but please check on that, because the third week of every month, every group is going to meet. Next week, you'll find out exactly where every group is meeting, and that's so that you know where your group is meeting, and the time, the date, so that you can get together with those that are in your neighborhood to learn to love, to care for one another, to pray one for one another, and to share together. Amen? So I encourage you. So the inserts. And that the challenge, and that as we move into a 21-day fast, and that as I shared last week, I'll share again, how many people want more of God? Okay, those that don't have their hand up, you got enough of them? Let me ask one more time again, how many people want more of God? Okay, come on now, we got to be real here, and I am pushing a little bit. Why? Because God doesn't want us to be stale bread. Amen. He doesn't want us in that to think that we got it all together. Let pride come down. We open our hearts and that towards him. But the challenge that God whispered in my heart is, you're wanting more of me. Then what do you think God wants from us? More of us. So as we step into this year, anticipating, expecting more of God, oh God, come pour out your spirit. More of you, God is saying it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you more of you. So how do we give more of us to God? How do we do that? Well, we start to get rid of the wood, the hay, and the stubble. We get rid of that. Stoke it on the fire. Throw it to the fire. What's that? That's our attitudes that don't line up. That's the stuff that runs through our mind called worry, fear, anxiety, the stresses of life, all those things, the negative thoughts. We cast that into the fire. We throw it over and stoke the fire. How do we do that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 9, I think it is. And that think on things holy, noble, praiseworthy, trustworthy. Think on such things. Think on good things. Another portion says, and that take captive every thought. Every thought. If it doesn't line up to Christ, it doesn't line up to what he would think or do, cast it into that little fire beside you, stoke the fire, and create more room. How do we do it? Another way is we take those walls down. Those offenses, those hurts, those wounds, those horrific things that have happened in some of our lives that have caused us to build a wall up because no one else was protecting us, so we had to do it. But what we don't realize is those walls we're putting up are actually walls that are going up between us and God too. The physical and the spiritual overlap a whole lot more than we ever thought they did. And so we take those walls down and we throw them into that fire and keep that fire stoked. It's that unforgiveness. So-and-so hurt me. I heard a story, and that, I don't know, this is going back a little ways ago, and that about an individual, 14 years and still holding tight to an offense that happened 14 years ago, and it's given him still reason not to be a church, not to open their hearts to walk with the Lord, and they're kind of pushing away and pushing away and pushing away. And if I told you what the offense was, you'd probably start to chuckle and laugh. You're saying, are you kidding me? That's it? A pebble in the shoe that's not dealt with eventually will cause a huge problem. Cast that offense, cast that part of unforgiveness and put it in the fire and stoke it. Those are some of the ways that we give more of ourselves to God. Amen? We give more of ourselves to Him. It's not just, oh, do more Bible study, spend 20 hours in prayer, do this. We get that story of Mary and Martha. It wasn't about doing, it was about being in His presence, recognizing He's here. And when we recognize He's here, and that and He's in this place, we're willing to let go of anything else because I just want Him. I just want Him. So I'm willing to let go of any distraction. I'm willing to let go of anything because I just want Him. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge that He brings to us. And that when He says, hey, you're wanting more of me, I want more of you. I want more of you. So when we come into this 21-day fast, I shared with everyone last week, I said, you know, as much as my wife and I, we're gonna go into a Daniel fast. We're pretty familiar. We did this before, and that we're gonna go into a Daniel fast together, and that's what we've decided to do together. And that, but God didn't say everyone's got to do a Daniel fast. And so, in your bulletin, you'll find just a paper like this here, and it talks about different types of fasts. And that what God's really put in the heart is that everyone here will do something to join in, whether it's for the 21 days, or you'll see on this page here, it gives the option of maybe just jumping in the last 10 days. Maybe you're younger in the faith and you really, you know, don't quite understand and that idea, jump on board for the last 10 days with us. But the challenge is that everyone that calls Rock Cliff their home will do something, something. Some of the fasts are the intermittent fast. And that, in other words, where they'll range from 14 to 16 hours and that of not eating during that time. And then they'll just eat. They'll eat what they need to eat and go from there. Some might be time-restricted eating, which is kind of similar to the other one. Then there's that 16-8. And that for 16 hours a day, and that's during your sleeping and other parts that you won't eat, and then during 8 hours that you will, making up the 24 hours. Then the alternate day fast, and that will you're maybe eat Mondays, don't eat Tuesday, eat Wednesday, don't eat Thursday, that type of a thing. There's the 5 days a week you eat normally, then 2 days you fast, you take pausing back and you say, okay, I'm not going to eat during them, or I'm going to eat something different during that time. There's the Daniel fast that we talked about. More information of that is all out on the coffee table outside. That's really coming back down to eating fruits and vegetables, eating healthy things for the body. Why? Because the body is the temple of the Lord. And the Bible says we need to take care of our bodies. Amen. And that if you're not doing any exercise at all, you need to do exercise. Whether it's just a walk around the block, whether it's just something simple, you gotta do exercise. Why? Too many people in North America are dying early. Dying of causes they should never die of. It's because they're not taking care of their bodies. Putting too much junk in, not exercising, not taking care of themselves. And then what happens is we end up not being ready in season when God asks us to. Why? Because we're lethargic, because we're tired, we're overwhelmed. So then God says, hey, I want you to come out at night. I want you to do this. I want you to go to your neighbor. And we're, I'm too tired. I'm too tired. I'm too tired. If you're saying you're too tired all the time, then maybe you need to change part of your diet and your routine. And that in that part is that you can have the energy. People argue with me all the time, but there's 80-year-olds still running marathons. They're not abnormal. They're just disciplined. They're just disciplined. Everyone can do something. Not everyone can do the same, but everyone can do something. And so in that part of the challenge, and that is that we would pray, starting tomorrow, the fast will start for 21 days, and that we would say, God, what is it? Maybe someone here, because of medical issues, can't fast food. Please, if you have medical issues, talk to your doctor before you do anything, please. But maybe you'll fast your phone. Other than calls in or calls out you got to make or work or whatever, and that you won't play games on it, you won't watch movies on it, and that you'll turn around and shut it down. Maybe to someone's like, man, I don't even have a cell phone, so it doesn't matter. Well, don't fast your cell phone if you don't have one, okay? Like, there's no sense in me saying, hey, I'm going to fast breakfast when anyone want to fast breakfast with me because I don't eat breakfast anyways, right? So in that part is pause for a moment here. It's not a diet. It's not just something to do, but it's something that's going to cost us. Something that's going to cost us. Something that we turn around and we say, whoa, wait a second, this is going to hurt a little bit. When's the last time it hurt serving God? When's the last time in that it cost us something more than we thought we had? See, we've made faith very comfortable. We've made faith to fit what we feel we want. If I can go this far, then my faith is right to there, but it's not any further. Yet God is calling us into a deeper faith, into a walk with Him that will cost us everything. And most of us in this room, and that we know that, but some have just forgotten it. And God is calling us to remind ourselves, to dig up those old wells, remind ourselves and move back into a place with Him. So in that part, you'll see a little challenge on there. On the other one, it just talks about some of the benefits of fasting, talks about on the back a bit of the challenge of why. And so I encourage you to read through that. If you have questions, please don't hesitate to ask the questions, make the call in, and that we'll talk with you. If you need me to come to your home and meet with you, I will. And that my wife and I are, I'm just trying to work on the day, but I think it's going to be Thursday evenings. On Thursday evenings at 6:00, my wife and I are going to bring our food here, and that for our Daniel fast that we have, we're going to make our food right here, and anyone else that would like to join us, and that you're more than welcome to join us at 6:00 for a time of fellowship and a time just to gather together and spur one another on. Why? How many people have ever fasted more than 3 days before? Was it easy? Not at all. And that, how many have fasted more than 11 days before? Okay? And that, by day 3, your body's yelling at you saying, what the heck are you doing? Like, hello, I want food. Why aren't you listening? You see, so much of our lives are controlled by our flesh, our mind, our emotions, our will, and our body. Yet the Bible says, my sons and daughters are the ones that are led by the Spirit. And so as we open our hearts, that's really what this fast is all about. It's just opening our hearts to say, God, what does it look like? What does it really mean to be led by the Spirit of God? What does that look like? How does that, whether you understand fully or not, what that looks like, don't worry. That's the journey we're on together. And as Holy Spirit helps us not to listen as much to our emotions and to our body cravings and all those things, and we listen to Him. And we say, Holy Spirit, would you help us? And so to the time that we would normally eat or prepare our meal or whatever it might be, we take those times to talk with Him, to pray, to read, to grow in Him. Some great resources you can get off of Right Now Media. If you don't have Right Now Media, it's our free gift to you. It's a digital library with tons and tons, 10,000 different studies and different things to stretch you and grow you in your faith. And that's rightnowmedia.com. All you have to do is give Kim your email address, and she will make sure that you get a copy of that. Is that org instead of, it's rightnowmedia.org. Sorry, I saw the laughter there for a moment. And so I just encourage you with that. And so I just challenging you as we come into this year of the great invitation, as we open our hearts towards the Lord, and we're asking and crying out for more of Him. Just remember, He's asking for more of you and more of me. But you're not alone. We're in it together. We're in it together. And don't hear me wrong. And that this isn't easy for me either. And part of me hollers inside to say, Phil, what on earth are you doing? Why would you do this? See, our flesh cries out all the time and does not want us to do anything. Anything spiritual. It only looks after itself. And yet the Bible tells us to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And that's the journey here at Rockcliffe that we're on. Might not make some comfortable. That's okay. We're not here to make you feel comfortable. We're here to stretch you and grow you so you can reflect Christ the way He intended you to. Not the way that He is doing in my life or in someone else's life or in this person's life, but the way He wants to reflect Himself in your life. See, God knows everything about you. In Psalms 139, He says, I know when you sit and when you stand. I know when you think. I know how many hair in your head. I know everything. And yet He keeps bidding us and inviting us into this great invitation of His grace and His mercy. And Him that has been given much, much is required. So it's a twofold spin here. It's not just coming, oh, now I got. Now He's calling us now. He says, now I want you to go. I want you to go to the highways and byways. I want you to go and compel. I want you to go and share what I've done in your heart. I want you to testify. I want you to shout from the mountaintops. So, as we head into this fast, we're repositioning ourselves to be about the one thing that He's asked us to be about. The Great Commission. Yet, for some reason, our North American churches have forgot a lot about it. Every day, there's people dying in Owen Sound in our region that don't know Jesus. And He's calling you and I to be that witness. He's calling you and I to be that light. In Matthew, it says that we're that salt Salt brings flavor. Salt preserves. Salt, and that does so many good things. It brings healing properties, all sorts of stuff. But if the salt loses its saltiness, it might as well be just thrown on the heap of fire. You see, there is a part for us to play here. And just like you and I, someone prayed for us. Someone went out of their way and invited us. Someone spoke into us and helped us along our journey. There's thousands in Owen Sound that need the same. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just help us. Whether it's a mental image, Lord, whether it's an impression on the heart, whether it's a whisper into our ear, God, Lord, just, Lord, for the lost, break our hearts once again for what breaks yours. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation, Lord. And that joy comes, Lord, not just because everything goes well. It becomes because, Lord, we're a part of your business. And as we share you with others and someone comes alive and their life transforms, this joy that just comes springing forth from us that we can't contain. So help us to uncork the bottle. Help us to uncap the well again that's been capped and that's been stopped for so long because we forgot about the Great Commission that you've called us to. And so, Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, for what you do in our hearts. I thank you right now, Lord, for the challenge that you bring to us. I thank you right now, God, Lord, as you come to us over and over again, reminding us of just who you are. And I pray today be nothing less than, Lord, grabbing a hold of our hearts so that we might become one. Lord, one cause, and that's your cause. One purpose, and that's your purpose. And that is we open our hearts to you. In Jesus' name. I want to read a portion of scripture. I share just a few words, and that just because of time and so forth. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn into Isaiah 53. I give you this picture and that of Isaiah and that just before we come into communion. This is 700 years before Christ went to the cross. 700 years before Christ coming and going to the cross, God spoke into Isaiah's heart and Isaiah gives the most dramatic and detailed report of what Jesus was going to face way before his time. You see, God is speaking all the time. There's some dreams, some prophetic words that God has spoken into your life, over your family, over this church, that you and I sometimes try to own. And when we try to own it, we get pretty disappointed, pretty offended, and sometimes even a little ticked off with God because it's not happening. But remember, it was never yours to own. It was his. And sometimes we will see a picture of something that he wants us to put blood, sweat, and tears into, even if we don't see the full reward of it, because we are preparing the way for someone whose sandals we are not worthy to wear. John the Baptist, the expression from him. There's someone that's coming after me, and I'm preparing the way for them. You see, when it comes to the prophetic, we have to be careful that we don't grab it so tightly that we all of a sudden, when God says, hey, this and this, that we add extra things all the way around it that end up bringing disappointment because the extra things aren't happening. Because we added a timeline when God didn't. Because we added the way that he was going to do it when he didn't say the way. because we added something else and then we get disappointed. That's how the enemy works. He constantly is coming to rob, kill, and destroy. The dreams, the prophetic words, the connection to God. And that, listen to me, and that, what does it profit the devil to take my body? Like really, I'm going to heaven. Like, really, is that the best you can do? Hello? Like, to live is gain and to die is gain. Amen? For a believer in Christ. So we don't worry and fret over those things anymore. And that, but we just now concern ourselves and say, okay, God, while I'm still here, what is it you want me to do? Who is it you want me to reach? How can I shine bright for you? And that we're on a mission. We're on a mission together. And so 700 years before Christ walked the earth, God spoke into Isaiah's heart and he began to speak this prophetic word out. And that it giving the picture of just who God is, what Jesus has done. You see, I believe the Lord is moving amongst us here at Rockcliffe. I believe Holy Spirit is speaking and he's stirring our hearts towards the lost. And that he's stirring our hearts and that to revive once again. And that which is dead, he is prophetically speaking, he is breathing life. As he speaks over those dry bones and they're rattling, he's now breathing life into those bodies. We get that picture, that prophetic word out of Ezekiel. And that's what God, I feel, is doing amongst us as he's stirring and he's moving us. I believe that for some, there are going to be new adventures in evangelism that are about to begin. And that you're going to find more joy than you've ever found in your walk with God as you begin to walk this journey as we move to reach into the lost and into our community. I believe with everything inside of me, new power, new boldness are coming to many. And that as we open our hearts to Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, Holy Spirit has a whole lot more to offer to you and that than protecting you from the big bad wolf. That, in fact, that's just such a small, small, insignificant piece of the puzzle because the devil is defeated already. He's just like a bee buzzing around with no stinger. He makes a lot of noise, and if you focus on that, you will get distracted. But if you just turn around and realize, well, wait a minute here, he's defeated. No, Jesus, you give me authority. No, I don't have to accept that. No, I don't have to get offended. No, I don't have to get stuck. No, that's not going to be the way. Use that faith. Use that authority that Christ has given you so that you can walk and not lose sight. So in Isaiah 53, I want to read verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open with me to Isaiah 53. In my Bible, it's 1,111 page. Okay, just in case you have the same one I have. In verse 3, it says, he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, what Jesus did for you is the exact same thing he's done for your family member, for your coworker, for your neighbor, for that person that's in line as you're waiting. And that for that one that, you know, bugs you or irritates you, God, Jesus did the exact same thing for them. Exact same thing. Yet the enemy has blinded their eyes that they're not able to see. How will they know unless they're told? The Bible says. So he calls us. He challenges us to move in there. In verse 8, I want to continue reading. In verse 8, we look at Jesus' death, and that is expressed there. It says, by oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living, and that for the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. So here we see the picture of him and that taking the weight of the world, so to speak, all the sins of everything weighted upon him, taking the beating and the lashings. The physical side of this was nothing compared to the spiritual side that Jesus went through. You and I can attest to the same thing sometimes, right? We can go through some situations. Physically, we get hurt or something happens or something takes place. But it's that spiritual side, that battle that's happening behind the scenes that sometimes is just overwhelming. Because the enemy likes to turn and that a little bit of a bump or a hurdle into a mountain every time. So this spiritual side of what happened and what rested on Jesus was so overwhelming. In fact, we get the foreshadowing of it when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying and he's pressing in. He says, Father, if there's another way, but if not, your will be done. And he's starting to sweat drops of blood. So much anguish, so much weight was resting upon him. I'm not talking just physical, because at that time he wasn't carrying the cross. See, we got to understand there's a spiritual realm and a spiritual battle and the spiritual part to play. Otherwise, we're just as deceived and blinded by the devil as those that are lost. God is calling you and I, and that's why we pray. We don't just pray like those pagans that beat their chest and shout out so everyone can see them. No, we know that the prayers of a righteous man or woman are powerful and effective to pull down strongholds. So that when we see something that's not right, we see something out of line, you and I have that ability inside of us by the power of God. And that to speak to that and say, you know what? No way. You are not going to attack my daughter or my son. You are not going to do this. No way. You are not going to come and divide this. You are not going to come and mess up with my workplace. No, you're not going to mess with my boss. And that I got my boss's back. And I'm covering him and I am lifting him because God has placed me here as an ambassador for him. And I'm serving notice that in the spiritual realm, no way, no more. See, Holy Spirit is setting an alarm off, and he's trying to wake us up and saying, hey, 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 you matter. Everything you say and do matters. Don't get so distracted. Don't get so overwhelmed by the rhythm of the world that you lose sight of what God has placed and put in your heart to do. So we jump another verse down in verse 12. Because I can't end it with him just dying. And that because, you know, that would be a sad story. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all of that. And yeah, you could do that, but now there's no, what about me? There's no hope? See, the hope comes in that resurrection, that he conquered death and hell. 700 years before Jesus going to the cross, we see in that Isaiah speaking out in verse 12, he says this, chapter 53. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for those transgressors. And that he is dividing up the spoils. What's the spoils? He conquered death and hell. He now has the keys. There's no more locked doors. Unless God tells you, no. How many believe God still says no? Do we like it when he says no all the time? No. Not at all. But the devil can't shut a door on you ever again. He can't lock it. He has no key to lock any door on you. God is the one that opens doors that no man can close. And he closes doors that not even you with the strongest crowbar can open up. And that's where our trust in him needs to be found. That's why we've got to remain close to him. He says, remain in me as I remain in you, and you can ask anything. The problem is, lots of times we don't remain in him apart from Sunday and maybe Monday morning, and that maybe we survive until Monday afternoon, and that off the manna, off the food that we had on Sunday, and then we forget it. God is calling us into something a little deeper. He's saying, hey, if you want a little bit more of me, give me another day. Give me another moment. Empty yourself of some of that stuff. Grab a hold of me. Move in the rhythm of my grace and watch what I will do. Because you haven't seen anything yet. I mean, I've seen pretty much everything apart from someone raising from the dead. And don't get me wrong, I've prayed. I was put on the spot once in Africa, and that is, we're over with the missions trip, and that we were praying, God was bringing healing, and all sorts of stuff was happening, and one of the ladies from another community, and that a great lady in the church, and everyone was mourning because, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? She's not here. She just died, and she was going to come out to the conference that we were holding, and we were pouring into the pastors, and so they called up and said, hey, send over those people to pray to raise her from the dead. Talk about put on the spot, eh? But I'm telling you, did not smell so good. Been around dead body, you can realize that. This is the intense heat of Africa, and it's now day 3. But I'm telling you, that smell didn't stop me. I pressed in, and I prayed through as hard as I could and asked the Lord, and that God, if your will, Lord, we just call forth the living right now and breathe life into her. And that didn't see her raised from the dead, but that's not my job. My job is to have enough faith to believe and to pray. I haven't seen someone raised from the dead yet, but I'm telling you now, I've seen some incredible things where limbs grew. I've seen where cancer, size of a grapefruit, x-rays, ultrasounds to prove it, going back to the doctor, next day, and absolutely nothing there. I mean, I've seen so many incredible things, yet God is saying, hey, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. In my last days, I will pour out my spirit on only those that are between 50 and 60.
Amen.
I miss it, Derek. I'm not quite in that bracket. I should have lowered it. No, he says, I will pour it on all flesh. So listen to me. When God puts out a call for us to partner in the Spirit with him, no one is exempt. Because you're a part of all flesh. You're a part of all flesh. And so if you will open yourself, and if we're going to ask more of him, what do you think he's asking from us? More of us. So this week, as you step out on Monday, and Monday starts our fast, and that today start to ask and prepare yourself and say, God, what is it you would like me to do? Now, you might do something and no one else might do the same thing. Doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's about positioning yourself because, in all honesty, I'm almost 25 years pastoring. I don't really want to pastor flesh. It's very weary. It's very tiring. I can never do anything right. It's just exhausting. But pastoring the Spirit, holy Toledo's, every day is new and it's exciting. What's going to happen next? Oh my God, Lord, what are you going to do here? Oh my goodness, I can't wait for Sunday. I can't wait for what's happened. I can't wait to hear the story. Oh my goodness, I got to get together. I can't wait for the family connection. Oh my goodness, what is someone going to say? Why? Because there's something that takes place in the spiritual realm that we cannot duplicate or fabricate in the natural realm. And so let's open our hearts to him. Let's get into that rhythm of his grace together over this next 21 days that are going to change the whole course of history of Rockcliffe, change the whole course of history of Phil Smith and your whatever name you want to put in there, and also of Owen Sound, as we learn to love Owen Sound like Christ has asked us to do. It's a play on words. It's one word. Ushers, if you'll come and prepare yourself for communion. It's a play on word, but our shift is simply this. Rockcliffe is no longer just the church in Owen Sound. Rockcliffe is a church for Owen Sound. We are a church for Owen Sound. So that means, and that's starting next week, you might not have your same seat again. Tony, you want to come? Jackie, will you come and help hand out the emblems to everyone? You might not have your same seat. You might not have your parking space. Now, I'm speaking by faith, and I'm speaking towards that because that's what the Bible has told me to do from the Spirit. Speak to that which is not and draw it in. Amen? So I'm just speaking it out now. You know, just get comfortable anywheres. Any seat, okay? Just get comfortable in any seat because there will come a time in Jesus' name you will not get your seat. You will not get your parking spot. And I'm believing that. I'm speaking it by faith. And that, listen, if every single person in here only reached one for Christ, and every week, 52 weeks, we're going to be inviting someone. No, it's not 52 because January's already gone. And that, but 47 weeks, we're going to be inviting someone. And if only 47 people we invite, only one gets saved, that's already maxed out every chair in here. Now, listen to me. It's not about numbers. Please hear me as clear as I can. It's not about numbers. And I'll be bold by saying this. I would rather not trade one of the seats that we have that have an angel in it for someone that is just going to sit there and say, sing a song out loud, I shall not be moved. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to change a seat for that. But I believe with everything inside of me and that God is going to bring in and he's going to move into hearts of people and God is going to multiply in his church once again and he's going to start to move into our community. And that is, there's a hunger and there's a desire because he says the harvest is plentiful. So if you're saying, I don't know who, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, all you got to do is ask him and he will share it with you. Can you hand out the emblems, guys? So as we come to communion, we have this picture of Christ and that who bore everything for us, took the weight of it all, paid the price, so that on the cross, when he said, it is finished, his job was done. That means that you and I don't have to do his job. We don't have to do that part to try and pay for something, to try and make up for something, to try and cover something, to try and do something on that. It is finished. His work is done. And now he says, it's your turn. It's your turn to live out what I've said. It's your turn to step out by faith into the realm that I've called you to. It's your turn to grab a hold of that. If the word of God says something, that you're going to grab it and say, okay, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that we will open ourselves to him and we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Not for selfish gain, but for his glory. And so as we come into this season, whether you are young and that like my daughter Abby or Noah or Ellie and that or someone else's little one, Mary, your little one. Well, maybe not the littlest one, but Reuben. Let's train our children. And the best way to train our children is to set patterns for them in our life. Moms and dads here, your kids might be grown up and left your home. Set a pattern. I'm telling you now, the way to break a curse If you're not happy with something that happened in the past, maybe your regrets or whatever, the way to break that is to start releasing blessing. And the best way to release blessing is to line your life up to Holy Spirit so your kids can see something different in your life and say, whoa, I don't know what's going on, but that's what I want. Every one of us have this opportunity. And Jesus stands at the door. And he knocks. Most of us here are very familiar with that knock. And we've let him in. And that some countless times. He says, but I don't want to just visit. I want to reside. I want to reside. So my fragrance never leaves the place. I want to reside inside of you. The very presence of the living God dwells in you. If you'll hold on to your emblems until everyone has received. Is anyone missing? If you're new to Rockcliffe, all that is required from Scripture is that you love Jesus, right? That's it. If you love Jesus, that's the only qualifier here. If you don't know who Jesus is, he's not your personal Savior, then I encourage you, let it pass you by. Even if you just have to hang on to it and you can, or hand it to someone and say, hey, you need a double portion, here you go, and that, and just pass it over, then they won't know anything. They'll just think that you're really generous and, wow, that's pretty awesome of you, okay? But in that part is that when we come to communion, don't make it about you. It is about him. Too much of our life is around us. But on this first Sunday of February, the kickoff of this year, so to speak, and where we're headed in that idea, let's make the change. And say, with your help, Holy Spirit, no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. In my attitude, in my thoughts, in my speech, in my deeds, in my going and my comings, it's you that live. It's you that live in me. On the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body that was broken for you. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what you're going through today, Jesus carried it. He understands. He understands. He understands what it's like. You know, I pray for my mom all the time. My dad is now moving into dementia, into a deeper level and a deeper level right now. I can still have conversations with him, but it's hard. And I pray and I talk to my mom and say, Mom, I said, I'm so sorry. I'm not there. I'm so far away now that she moved down east. And then I said, my heart breaks. I don't quite get what you're going through. But Jesus does. He understands. And so I might not understand, but I know the one that does. And I'm going to invite him to overshadow you and to love on you. You see, you don't have to go through something and that to be that witness to someone. You just need to know the one that carried it all. And when he said that by my stripes, he bore everything on himself. That means whoever you're witnessing to, Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. So he took and they broke it. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what he's done so that when you're in that middle of that moment, you won't forget. So let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Your own words, just begin to thank him. Just overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by you, Lord. It's a new day. It's a new day. Thank you, Jesus. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. He said it represents a new covenant. You see, the old covenant, everyone strived hard. They worked hard to try and line up. They worked hard and that to try and fit the mold, to keep the law, to keep moving, to keep doing the right things. See, this cup represents the fact of the new covenant that Jesus has made. It's not about striving. It's not about you working really hard to try and line up. In fact, for some today, I'm believing that you're going to get a break. And God's going to speak into your heart. It's now time to let go. Let go and let God. Stop trying to make it up. Like make up for something. Stop trying to work really hard so that everyone else thinks you got it together. Just let the guard down. It's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way because he has so much more for you. And that's what we're journeying and partner together. Moving from glory to glory together. No one has it all. For the one that you look around here and you look at them and say, oh my goodness, they got it together. At our Alpha, we were finishing up and Jeff shared his bit of his testimony. He said it publicly, so I hope it's okay. And he just turned around and he started with everyone, because a lot of our youth, they don't attend our church, and we're reaching out. And then he says, hey, how many people here think that I'm a pastor? You know, because he's filling the role right now of youth, our youth pastor. Pastor Nathan is now taking care of his wife, and that idea, we have that part, and he has stepped into that role to help us. And he says, well, I'm not. He said, well, how many people feel that I've been Christian all my life and I'm growing in him, I'm reading my Bible all the time, all my life long, and that idea, and, you know, some were like, oh, yeah. And he's like, well, no, that's not the case. Grew up in a godly home. And that, but then later in his teen years, distracted or busy, life, marriage, moving on, and it wasn't until the last 3 years and a little that God got a hold of his heart on the bench outside of Hillcrest School. And while he was on that bench, God spoke into his heart, transformed all that he was going through, and he moved towards God, and God met him. Listen to me, it doesn't matter where you are or who you are. God will meet you wherever you're at right now. Stop striving. Bring down the walls. Bring down the thing. And that also, I want to speak out another part of shame. There's too many people carrying shame because of something that you did in your past, something that happened in your past, that you're carrying over. And so this is what I want to say. As the lead pastor of Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church, I want to apologize to you. If Rockcliffe in any way has made you feel that you've had to carry that shame because you did something that wasn't right, because something happened in your life that partially was out of your control, some was in your control, or maybe it was all you, and you're still now carrying it. Days, years, decades later, would you please forgive Rockcliffe? Would you receive that forgiveness right now that we are extending to you, because God does not want you to carry that? There is absolutely nothing, nothing that this blood cannot cover. It's time that we allow the blood to be the blood. It's time that we allow the power of what Christ can do to really flow free. That there is nothing that you are in the middle of, nothing that you have done, nothing from your past, nothing that you might have missed an opportunity or whatever it might be. You can list all whatever you want to list there. But God wants to speak and saying, it's time to let go of that shame. And forgive us as a church. If out of religion or legalist or whatever it might be, that we have made you feel like you have to keep hanging on to that, it's time to let it go. It's time to let it go. He makes all things new. Good, too. He makes them good, Rick. But all things new. The old is gone, and the new has begun. So today's a new day. No more shame. Doesn't matter what you've done. His blood's more than enough. His blood is more than enough. So as we partake together, we're going to seal in what God has just been doing. We're going to seal it with his blood. And the death angel cannot come past that. Nothing can. In Jesus' name, let's partake.